Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about
public nursing and understanding miscarriage.
Two very common questions that we get, and we are going to do just a Q&A today with just two questions. And again, as Veronica said, we're going to talk about public nursing, which seems to be like a question you get a lot, right?
Oh yeah, I get this question multiple times a week.
Mm-hmm. And how are we supposed to view that? And what are we supposed to do according to the Bible? What principles should we apply to that? The second thing is understanding miscarriage. I think the miscarriage journey is something that more people experience than we even want to realize. Mm-hmm. We've had two miscarriages ourselves, and so we thought it was important to answer this young lady's question. So these questions are, I guess, female-oriented questions today, mm-hmm. but again, I think they're really great for the men to hear. A couple other things. We saw so many questions on a variety of different topics that kind of just get asked over and over.
Yeah.
So I wanted to reference a few episodes that we already have answers for these episodes. If you're looking for how to motivate your husband to be a spiritual leader, we did an episode titled How a Wife Can Motivate Her Husband to Be the Spiritual Leader. Mm-hmm. And that's episode number 4. And you can find that on YouTube. You can find that on iTunes. You could find that at ultimatemarriage.com.
You can find that wherever you found this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another one, which is off a common question about how do I deal with the relationships with in-laws? Mm-hmm. How do I create those boundaries, healthy boundaries? And we did an episode called 5 Biblical Steps for Handling Holiday Conflict, which is episode number 23, that I think addresses that really well. So just
That episode's talking particularly about around the holidays, but it definitely addresses the same issue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. things are just amplified at the holidays, but it's a good it's a good answer for that question. So two episodes right there to help you on your journey on those two questions. So we're going to get started. Before we get started, real quick, I forgot to announce or mention reviews. Again, reviews are continuing to grow with us. It's really great. They really do help the exposure of the show. If you haven't already and you're a regular listener, would you please leave a review for the show? Again, this is available on YouTube, Spotify, Google Play, and iTunes for you to listen to. On that note, we will start. Veronica will read us the first question that we received. We're keeping these anonymous, so we're not going to say who asked them. Mm-hmm. And she'll have her answer.
But yeah, like Dale said, I get this question probably on average about twice a week. So I knew we'd hit it sooner or later. So now is the time.
Yep.
So first question, in recent years, there have been more and more women nursing their babies in public without a cover. This past Sunday after church, we were sitting on the lawn outside of the sanctuary and I saw a young woman just pull out her breast and start nursing her child. It seemed improper to me. What does the Bible say about this? Okay. So as Dale referenced a couple of other episodes, we've actually done an episode on modesty before titled, How mature Christian couples view modesty. And that's going to be on episode 12 if you want to go take a listen to that.
Yep.
But the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what men and women should wear or should not wear as clothing. The Bible simply gives us the principle of modesty.
Yep.
And if you've been a regular listener for any amount of time, you'll know that Dale has mentioned in several episodes that the Bible gives us universal principles for local application.
Yeah, this idea that we get all these principles, like the Lord's constantly given us in Scripture, these universal principles, but they're to be applied in your real life mm-hmm. locally.
Yeah, so therefore the principle of modesty comes from the Scriptures, But the details of the application of modesty comes from your culture in your time period. Mm-hmm. For example, the application of modesty is going to be different in Africa, Iran, and America. They're all going to be different. And I'm not saying that modesty is solely determined by the culture. Yeah. That is not what I'm saying. I think you could argue that the scriptures support that it's never okay to just walk around naked for everyone to consume. That would be, I mean, hey, it's actually legal here in Oregon.
You can be completely naked here in Oregon and walk down the street and there's nothing wrong with it. There's things that they do, annual naked ride on their bikes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we have to cover our children's eyes. It's terrible.
Yeah. But I think most people can agree that that's like, scripture is not for that.
Yeah.
So, but what is something like breastfeeding in public? What is that like? How should that be done?
Mm-hmm.
The short answer, as with anything, it should be done modestly. Mm-hmm. So I personally, with all three of our children, I personally nursed all of my children in public locations. However, I've always covered myself, mm-hmm. With a blanket or, you know, burp cloth, whatever it is. I don't know. A blanket usually.
Yeah.
And if for some reason I even felt uncomfortable or if whatever situation I was in even felt appropriate, say we're at a nice dinner at a restaurant, sure, in a meeting or something, I would even remove myself from there and go find a more private place to nurse. But you may be thinking, why? Why would you do that? Well, first, I live in a culture where breasts are sexual.
Yep.
I think that there's no argument there that a bare breast in America causes sexual arousement. Secondly, I'm not modest simply for my own benefit. I'm modest for the benefit of others. I'm modest because I would never want my body to cause another brother to stumble in his purity. Sure, I can't control what other men are thinking or what they're doing with their eyes, but I can control my part in that.
Yeah.
Both parties are responsible when it comes to sexuality. So, for example, I can't just walk into a park in my underwear and then get mad at everybody for looking at me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have a responsibility on my own part, and so do they. Another point that we make in the modesty episode, if you guys go back and listen to it, or if you've listened to it already, you'll know that we talk about young puberty age boys and girls could, nursing your child without a cover be a stumbling block for this 12-year-old boy who's already fighting to not give in to pornography.
Yeah.
Or could it be teaching a 12-year-old girl that her breasts are not private and can be shown in public for all to see? Personally, I also view covering myself as a sign of respect towards my husband. The scriptures say, you know, my body is not my own, in 1 Corinthians
chapter 7.
But it's his too. And even before it's mine and my husband's, my body belongs to the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. And I have the scripture here that I can read to you. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hmm. So ultimately, I'm not looking for ways to prompt any type of sexual attention. In fact, a godly woman should be looking for ways to protect herself from sexual attention.
Yeah.
The only sexual attention a woman should desire should be from her husband. And God calls us to be holy. That word means separate. He called the Israelites to eat different, to work different, to dress different, and to speak different. And I know that nursing without a cover is more convenient. I know sometimes our children don't like it, but God doesn't call us to do the easy thing. He calls us to do the holy thing.
Bam. That was like really, I think, clear on. Yeah. So it's just, it's an important topic of this culture, of the American culture and the mm-hmm. modern culture, especially in warmer climates. It seems to be even more of an issue. I remember when we went to Hawaii, I thought, man, I don't know if like, this would be difficult to live here as a man. Mm-hmm. Just because of the sheer nakedness that's all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. We grew up in Southern California and
It's similar there too.
We actually made a determination that we wanted to raise our kids somewhere else because we didn't want our daughters to be identified as their value with their body, mm-hmm. which is almost impossible to get around in Southern California, where everybody's half naked pretty much year round. And
yeah, especially in the area where we lived.
Yeah, so modesty is just a big, big conversation that we need to have often. I think the whole discussion can be wrapped up in two scriptures about this. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 9, it says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak." And so the Bible tells us that we need to be sensitive to the conscience of others. And even if they're permitted, like these, even if the activity that you do is permitted in Scripture, let's just say drinking alcohol, for example, is permitted in Scripture. You know, you're not allowed to be drunk, but if you have a glass of wine, you're not going to find a Scripture that's going to support that you can't do that. So it's permitted in Scripture. This idea, we need to limit our liberties to prevent a stumbling opportunity for another brother or sister who has a weaker conscience. And that is love. When we actually sacrifice what we can do because that ability or that freedom or that liberty might actually stumble another brother or sister. And that same thing with modesty. I mean, ladies, you have to know that the men of this culture are completely obliterated by pornography. I mean, men everywhere are under attack constantly, and they are full-blown addicted in terms of looking at porn on a regular basis.
Yeah, and many women today too, but this we're obviously talking directly.
Yeah, and so, you know, you don't want to be a sexual prompt in another man's life ever unless it's your husband. Mm-hmm. And so I just say it comes from love, a modesty conversation. And sure, the application happens to be more on women in this situation, but mm-hmm. this application of limiting our liberties for the love of others is something that all Christians, men and women, need to do. The second scripture I think about is Philippians 2, 3 through 4. It says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Mm-hmm. And so we're called to just not do anything out of selfish ambition. Like, I'm here to do this and establish myself in this position of political thought or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I also need to not just consider me, but consider others. And that's a really important principle that we need to apply to this conversation.
Yeah, just since you're saying, you know, not just consider myself, but consider others. And then we also touched on the young boys going through puberty type of age. But me thinking as a mom, I've got two young children that are, I've got three young children, but boys particularly that are 3 and 1, almost 2. And I, even now in their young age, want to protect their purity. And if there is a woman nursing without a cover, I try to distract them and don't want them getting comfortable with that.
Yeah, it's a sacred thing. Mm-hmm. Sexuality is a sacred thing. It's connected to God.
And yeah, I want to protect my son's purity, even as young as they are.
Yeah, and so it's something that, again, I think that, a lot of women, maybe you've never heard this before. So if this mm-hmm. is you and you're concerned and you're like, oh my, maybe embarrassed or convicted by the Holy Spirit on this, praise God that the convictions come, and it's not me convicting you or Veronica convicting you. It's just what we're saying, what the scriptures teach. Mm-hmm. The church sadly doesn't teach a lot on this topic. Mm-hmm. And you get an opportunity at this point to go, okay, you can repent, you can change your behavior and never think about it again. Mm-hmm. And just not be shameful, not be embarrassed about it. Just move forward. And the second thing is, if you're defensive on this conversation, like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I just want to ask you, well, one, what do you, like, why? Like, get before the Lord and pray and just ask the Lord, why? Why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. Why am I feeling defensive? The New Testament says, be holy as he is holy. And so we have a call. Modesty is a pretty clear directive in Scripture. And so just something to think about as you're on this journey.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible.
Question number two, I'm going to take, but Veronica's going to read the question. Miscarriage, pretty hard topic.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. About 6 months ago, I had a miscarriage. Then I hear the idea that God is sovereign. So if God is sovereign, did God take my baby?
So I feel like we've been through some of these things, thinking through them before. Mm-hmm. I mean, why don't you share a little bit about just the miscarriages that we've had?
Yeah, we've had two miscarriages. We've had one right after Aria. Well, not right after, but, you know, after her, between her and Honor. And then we had one, I don't know, back in August, mm-hmm. July, August, so not even a year ago. And each experience was devastating. It was hard. It was a really tough thing to walk through. I would say the second one was probably harder on me emotionally than it was the first one. I'm not saying that's the case for everybody. That was just for me personally.
It was farther along. We were, I think, 11 or
so. I was 11 weeks.
11 mm-hmm. weeks, that one, yeah.
And my first one was at 7 weeks. And yeah, it was just hard. It's hard physically because you have to, you basically go through, you know, not as intense, but you basically go through labor and you pass the baby. Lord willing, you know, you can do that at home without intervention if you can, mm-hmm. Which I was able to, praise God. And so, yeah, you go through these physical pain. And you're bleeding and it's emotional pain and it's traumatizing with no like reward in the end kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time, I got the phone call, you know, I was bleeding and we went to urgent care. They said it's a threatened miscarriage. It's not a miscarriage yet because their baby is still in there with a heartbeat, but it's a threatened miscarriage. Anyway, I ended up having a miscarriage, and they called to confirm that. I don't remember exactly. This is, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Called to confirm it, and I remember hanging up the phone and crying, and as I hung up the phone, Aria puked all over the floor.
I remember that.
And so I'm, like, trying to grieve and bawl my eyes out, but also care for my child who just vomited all over the floor.
Just felt like spiritual attack.
It totally did. And so that was the first one, and then
I think the
second one was a few, I don't know, longer than a few months ago, but in August.
Yeah, I think a lot of husbands really don't know how to handle this either. You know, just as a man, the first one, I feel like I was just like, I didn't even know what was going on. I think the big change for a man is that you you have a plan as a man. Like, you're the leader of your home, you have a vision. Man, we're pregnant, we're having another baby. I'm planning, I'm working, I'm getting things organized. And then nobody changes your plans as a man. Like, that's kind of like a thing that you kind of, your domain, you know, we're going somewhere.
And most generally,
men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to have that kind of shift for me was a big thing of like going, whoa, like
someone slammed on the brakes and changed directions.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Lord, like that wasn't what I expected. And what a weird thing to happen. And then also I think for me, you know, not understanding of the first one, yeah, I understand a lot more the second time around, but the first miscarriage, just caring for you emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I really clicked heavily with me in that first time. It was mostly like caring for you, trying to understand it, going theologically and logical about the whole thing, and trying to really figure it out. The second one, I broke down a few times and started really understanding. We had more children. Children were older. We'd gone through some pregnancy or another birth, two more births. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a journey. So ladies, be patient with your husbands on those things because it is different. They can't.
Yeah, you guys don't go through the physical side of it or necessarily the emotional side because we feel the emotional side the day we find out we have a baby in there.
Yeah.
Where it takes men generally, not all, but little bit longer time to grasp that concept.
Yeah, so I put together an answer to this question. I guess that was a preface of our own story. I'm going to read the question one more time. It says, about 6 months ago, I had a miscarriage, and then I hear the idea of the sovereignty of God. So if God is sovereign, did God take my baby? And I think that's a pretty common question. I want to just give you a theological argument of why God did not take your baby that I think the scriptures support. But I'm just going to explain it to you. It might be a little bit heady in terms of just intellectual thinking, but hang with me and try to, I'll try to put it all together here in a minute. So first off, I want to talk about this idea of sovereignty. You know, and I'm looking at my notes here if you're watching the video. We have to determine where God's sovereignty ends and where human responsibility begins. And this is a really important conversation because we know we have free will. So there is a point where God's sovereignty ends and that human responsibility begins because we do have free will. If we didn't have free will, then God would not be loving. And I want to explain that. Love requires choice. It does. It absolutely requires choice. A choice to believe or a choice to disbelieve in God. A choice to come to Christ or a choice to leave Christ. You know, if we don't have a choice in this world and we can't we can't leave our relationship with God, we're not in a loving relationship. We're in a compliant relationship. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't force himself upon us. Mm-hmm. We get to choose him. We get to be in relationship with him. And so in order for love to exist, choice must exist. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize also that for humans to have free will, if we didn't have free will, then there would be no sin in the world. Because if we didn't have free will and sin existed, then God created sin and your entire theology on a holy God is gone. So the idea is that sin is evidence that we do have free will. And so again, I'm just going to connect this back to you guys here in a second. So why is this important to a conversation around miscarriage? We got to take God off trial for our miscarriage. Like we blame God. He's on trial. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this with suffering. Like, why am I suffering, God? Why have you done this to me? You know, why are you taking this? Now there's a journey. God says in the scriptures that he disciplines those he loves. There's a distinguished difference between like conviction and change and like inflicting illness or killing babies. In terms of the new covenant and understanding there, it's important that you understand that distinction. But we can't blame God for what man and the enemy has done through free will. Mm-hmm. Okay? We can't blame God for what man has done with his free will. We've created, through choice, a world filled with sin. We've rebelled against God. This is literally the start, Adam and Eve, the becoming of the need for the gospel. We also know that Ephesians 2:2 says, "And he made, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So we know that there's evil in the world. Like God has allowed evil to exist because evil cannot exist if good doesn't exist. And I should say the other way around. Good, in order for good to exist, evil must exist. In order for love to exist, hate must exist. These opposites are important. You can't just have love because there's no alternative than it's not love. Love requires choice. And again, this is really important. And so in relation to miscarriage, did God's sovereignty take your baby? No. And that's the short answer. The effects of sin in this world have literally altered the earth. Okay, they've altered our bodies. They've altered our health. And they've altered our minds. And this is, sin has devastated the world. And that is why your baby miscarried. It's a result of a broken and fallen world. In a perfect world without sin, there is no miscarriage. There is no brokenness in that capacity. we, again, can't blame God for the choices that men have made and the sin that mankind has come up with and the rule that the enemy has here. And again, you can easily go, well, gosh, why did you create a world that has sin? It should have just been all loving, all good. But again, that's why I explained before, you can't have that world. That world with just love isn't love. It's compliance. And so the beauty is that in order for love to exist, sin had to exist. In order for good to exist, evil had to exist. In order for love to exist, hate had to exist. And so this is important, just kind of logical side of understanding God and putting this into correct perspective. So this sin is our enemy in this element. The enemy is our enemy in this element. God is not the enemy in this element. God merely gave us the choice, and we have all sinned. And we know that that sin actually breaks down our bodies. We know that when we commit sexual immorality and we know that we do these things, we think these thoughts, it breaks us down. And this is why the gospel is here to save us from the spiritual power of sin. It's to heal us from the disease of sin. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Our bodies are falling apart. Why are they falling apart? Well, it's because of sin. And when our bodies fall apart, sometimes our babies' bodies fall apart. Mm-hmm. And so there's a scripture here in Romans 8:18-21 I'm going to read. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be received in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." There's other scriptures that talks about that the earth even groans for redemption. Like, sin has broken things down. And so God's sovereignty in these things and man's responsibility in these things. And so there's those two things. And we got to be very careful that we don't blame God for the acts of man or blame God for the acts of the enemy. And it's so easy to do. I think I heard a really good statement in an argument. Blaming God for the evil in the world would be like blaming Henry Ford for all the car accidents that are in the world. Henry Ford made the vehicles, but is it his fault that the car accidents were made? No, it's not. So it's just an important way to look at that. But we're still left with lots of questions after a miscarriage. What caused the baby to die? Could we prevented it? Could we have prevented its death? I know women oftentimes, like, is it something that I did? Did I fall? Did I eat something wrong? Or whatever. Did I get not, you know,
hot, exercise too hard.
Exercise too hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Why did God surprise us, make us, you know, excited about this and then shock us with loss? Like, why does God do these kind of things? But those questions, I think, only lead to anxiety and frustration because we don't actually have those answers.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Yeah. And so instead we get to cling to what we do know mm-hmm. that has been revealed by God to us in the scriptures. And I want to talk about that for a second. There's a scripture that Moses says. He says, "The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." This is Deuteronomy 29:29. And I love that the secret things, they do belong to God. And as of right now, we'll see things through a glass darkly, is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. And we just don't know everything. The things that we do know are the things that the Lord has revealed to us. And there's no fruitfulness in questioning and wondering all the things that we'll never know. Mm-hmm. And, we do have a sovereign God, and he's on our side. But we got to remember in these moments that one day there is going to be a world. A new world with new creation, with a new relationship between Christ and his bride, with new bodies. And there's not going to be crying or distress. There's not going to be any more dying of babies or people taken too young. But there's only going to be flourishing. There's only going to be joy. you know, every tear will be gone. And for now, we take comfort in God's promises. For now, we get to know that he's there for us, that he's sovereign, and that he holds us up with his righteous right hand. And this is the things that we get to lean on in moments like this. So it's a difficult conversation. It's very theological. I think when you get into suffering, you have to kind of come to that, like, take God off trial. Did God cause this? No. We can't blame God for the works of evil. That's my main point.
Yeah, and I encourage you to even think through that even before you enter a season of suffering, because we're all going to suffer at some point. And,
totally.
And battling through those thoughts and emotions in the midst of distress, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of being overly emotional.
We did this.
Is a lot harder.
Yeah, we had to figure out, like, Lord, why do you have us here? Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to, like, I guess, assign your struggle to, like, God's plan. God works together all things mm-hmm. for good for those who love him. And so he'll take your tragedies and turn them into triumphs. We know that. But it doesn't mean that God caused the tragedy.
Right.
And so we got to be real careful about that and take God off trial in these moments. And I love what Veronica said. Yeah, you don't want to have to search this after the cancer diagnosis. You want to know these things about God before. And so whatever comes at you, you can properly place the cause of it on sin and the enemy and not have a doubt that it could ruin your faith. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was...
Those are two questions for
two
today.
Two questions for today. It's so weird to, like, exit out of a deep thing like that and then come into, like, oh, hey, but... Now we're going to talk about something else. We finished the podcast section on our website. I wanted to mention that. On that note, we thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this episode, and we will bring you another one next Wednesday.
See you guys.
See you guys. Take care. You can listen to it or watch it on the website. I have the important takeaways of every episode. The scriptures referenced in every episode are available. And all of them are available there. All the ones for Real Christianity, as you guys know, this podcast originally started under the name Ultimate Marriage. And the first 30 episodes were Ultimate Marriage.
Yeah, all based on marriage topics.
All based on marriage and family. Mm-hmm. Those are found at ultimatemarriage.com. I think this is episode number 43. So the last 13 episodes, as of this episode, are found at relearnchurch.org/listen. And all you got to do is just click the Real Christianity banner, you'll see, and then they'll have all the episodes right there. You can share them with people. You can reference back to them if you want to. The last thing we'll mention is we've learned that almost the entire growth of the podcast has happened from referrals. Mm-hmm. People sharing it with their friends and family. And so we wanted to ask you guys, if our ministry has been edifying for you and your family, would you think of somebody that could use some of the topics that we've covered, mm-hmm. That could use help with that? And would you be willing to introduce them to the podcast? And again, our heart is just to help more people. And you guys do a better job of knowing who needs to hear the podcast because you know the struggles of that person's life.
Mm-hmm. That we get are just the questions people send in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you know, when you do marketing, you know, as a nonprofit ministry, we do marketing. But, like, I don't know who needs the things. I mean, not that everybody couldn't benefit, but mm-hmm. there are certain people that need this conversation about miscarriage. There are certain people that need the conversation about you know, how to care for young children. There's certain conversations that we talked about modesty that people need to hear, and you know who they are. And so if you'd be willing to just pass along the podcast, a certain episode, we'd really appreciate that.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your walk with God. For those that don't know, Real Christianity is an audio ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. I share this because Veronica and I want to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more Christians mature in their understanding of God's Word. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $10, $20, or $25 per month. I promise you that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to further the gospel. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.